a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The House of Representatives will now come to order. We have a special guest pastor with us today. His name is Reverend Oliver Omundson. He's the pastor at the Cornerstone Evangelical Church in Yankton, South Dakota. He is the father-in-law of State Representative Mike Stevens. He is a World War II veteran, and he was a prisoner of war for 19 months in World War II. Please welcome Reverend Oliver Omundson.
Share together in prayer. You know, this old book is my guide. It's a friend by my side. It'll lighten and brighten the day. And each promise I find soothes and comforts my mind that I share it and preach it today. Our Heavenly Father, we pause now to thank you. It's times like this when we remember the United States of America, our great country, our great land, where they made it possible for us to stand like this and unashamedly lift up the word of God, and how we need you in these days. And Father, I thank you for all the benefits that come our way. They're countless. They're coming all the time. And I thank you for the invitation that I had to come here and share a few words today, and to share something of this great need that we all need, our Father, as we pray together, thanking you again for the United States of America. And then, our Father, we thank you for our local government right here. And I thank you for this group of people who have given their time, their lives, and their expertise, and all that they have to offer to us to help us along the way. And I praise you for our Father. I pray for every one of them. And we thank you for our God, whose body was ripped and torn into shreds of quivering flesh. He poured out every drop of blood as a forgiveness for our sins. And he loves us. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and dips beneath the lowest hell. And it's such a great experience for me to stand here before these people who are giving so much of themselves to lift up that name of Jesus and to serve our country and our God. I thank you for them. May this be a good day. And when we go home tonight, may we rejoice and say, well, that was certainly a good day we had today. We've been able to lift up the concerns that we have, and we just feel so good about it. And I pray for everyone that they might have the joy of the Lord, and the business that they're going to carry on now is going to be something we'll all benefit by as we pray for our country and as we lift it up in prayer. Thank you, our God, in every way. And it's just such a joy to start this service today with a lifting up of that name which is above every name. We thank you for it. And I just pray that everyone will be able to go home tonight and say, well, we lift the blessing a little higher today, a little better than when we came. We want to go home rejoicing. And so in that spirit, may all of us, together now, as we get ready for this service, we would pray, our Father, we would just look to you, and may everyone who loves the country, loves our local government right here, and wants to serve and give them our best, may we all, with a joyful amen, shout together, amen!
Amen.
Go to it!
Special thanks to Reverend Oliver Omundson for that prayer and making our 18th Legislative Day, a special day. I'd like now introduce the pages who are going to introduce or lead us off with our Pledge of Allegiance. We have Scott Ma from Sioux Falls and Ryder Wilson from Quinn.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will please call the roll.
Representative Bartling, Boland, Kamak, Campbell, Carson, Consett, Craig, Cronin, Dryden, Duvall, Eklund, Erickson, Feichert, Feinstein, Gibson, Greenfield, Don Hager, Jenna Hager, Hayek, Hansen, Hawks, Holly, Heineman, Heinert, Hickey, Hoffman, Hunhoff, Johns, Kaiser, Killer, Kirschman, Kopp, Lateral, Lust, Magston, May, Mickelson, Miller, Munsterman, Nelson, Nordstrup, Olsen, Otten, Parsley, Peterson, Qualm, Rasmussen, Ring, Rumpkamoff, Rounds, Rosem, Russell, Schaefer, Shanefish, Shrimp, Sly, Soli, Solem, Stalzer, Steele, Stevens, Tolson, Tyler, Vercio, Werner, Westra, Wick, Wink, Wismer, and Speaker Gosch.
Here.
Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the 17th day. All errors typographical or otherwise are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Brian G. Gosch, Chair.
Those in favor of approving the journal will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Journal is approved. Representative Kamak, do you have a special guest with you today?
Personal privilege.
Granted.
I would like to introduce my mom, Donna Kamak, and my sister, Elaine.
Welcome to the Capitol. Thanks for joining us. We have a lot of guests with us today. On behalf of Representatives Greenfield and Tolson, the Esteline students, are you here? If you're here, stand up or wave at us. How about the DECA group on behalf of Representative Hayek, who have been shadowing legislators all day today? Welcome. On behalf of Representatives Kamak and Wink, and Olson, the Newell High School senior class. And teachers, are you here? Right behind you. Thank you for being here. On behalf of Representatives Qualm and Bartley, the government class from Wagner High School, and the teacher, Joe Kafka, are you here? Welcome. On behalf of Representatives Duvall and Rounds, the VFW officers, if you're here, please stand up. Russell Dramstad, National VFW Council. Connie Hegestad, National VFW Council. Gary Cooker, South Dakota Commander. Nita Paterka, South Dakota Ladies Auxiliary President. Dennis and Karen Sharp, VFW Voice of Democracy and Patriots Penn Program Directors for South Dakota. Are you here, please? On behalf of Representative Don Kopp, Larry Price, past American Legion Commander, are you here? Please stand. Thank you, sir. On behalf of Representative Betty Olson, her page is Savannah Spurl with the FFA. Her older brother, Taylor Spurl, was just deployed to Afghanistan as an MP. They are both from Reva, South Dakota. Welcome to the page, and thank you for her brother for his service. One more announcement. Welcome to the young people and adults. Present for the Children's Day at the Capitol, sponsored by the South Dakota Voices for Children. Any of you folks here, welcome. Thank you. Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports that House Bill 1029 and 1168 do pass. House Bill 1083 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. House Bill 1002 and 1167 do pass amended. And House Bill 1160 was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Charles B. Hoffman, Chair. The Committee on Transportation respectfully reports that Senate Bill 1 and 45 do pass, and Senate Bill 48 and 49 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Steve Hickey, Vice Chair. The Committee on Local Government respectfully reports that House Bill 1158 do pass amended and be placed on the consent calendar. House Bill 1230 was tabled, and House Bill 1224 was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Tim Rounds, Chair. The Committee on Health and Human Services respectfully reports that Senate Bill 23 do pass, House Bill 1233 do pass as amended, and House Bill 1227 was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Scott Munsterman, Chair.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to return herewith House Bills 1012, 1051, 1054, and 1064, which have passed the Senate without change. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to transmit herewith Senate Bills 8, 9, 29, 30, 56, 80, 117, 139, 145, 146, 168, and 223, which have passed the Senate, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Jeanette Shipper, Secretary.
Representative Parsley. Granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today with us in the chambers, we have my predecessor, who served gallantly from District 8 for a long time, Dave Gassman, Representative Dave Gassman.
Welcome, Representative. Good to see you again. Representative Megstaff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would also like to welcome the American Legion State Commander, Byron Calise. Commander Calise helps me fix light switches, and he also helps me hang light fixtures and pictures. He makes eggs and bacon and sausage and hash browns for me every Saturday because he's also my dad. So.
Good to see you, sir. Thank you. They're coming, yeah, they're coming. Representative Barlin.
Personal privilege.
Granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, would you help me welcome back to this body one of the finest minority leaders that I served with prior to coming back this time, of course, Representative Dale Hargens.
Welcome back. Good to see you, too. Are the State American Legion officers here, Denny Brandon and Ken Orock? Did they just take off? Okay. We have some VFW folks coming over there in the Senate right now, but I see lots of hats in the crowd. If you are a member of the American Legion or VFW or a member of the military, please stand and be recognized. Thank you all for being here today. Motions and resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution 1004, a concurrent resolution expressing support for the 2013 South Dakota Coordinated Plan for Natural Resources Conservation. The Speaker has waived the committee referral. House Concurrent Resolution 1005, a concurrent resolution recognizing November 2013 as COPD Awareness Month. The Speaker has waived the committee referral.
First reading of Senate bills. For those in the gallery today, I will let you know that under our South Dakota Constitution, we have a requirement that each bill have two readings in each chamber. This will be the first reading of Senate bills.
Bill 146, an act to provide for the collection of certain gaming taxes, penalties, and interest, and to declare an emergency. Senate Bill 168, an act to require that newborns be screened for congenital heart defects. Senate Bill 223, an act to clarify the open meeting requirement as applied to the Public Utilities Commission. Senate Bill 29, an act to authorize the Department of the Military to purchase land for use by the South Dakota Army National Guard to make an appropriation, therefore, and to declare an emergency.
Speaker, assign Senate Bill 8 to appropriations, 9 appropriations, 29 appropriations, 30 appropriations, 56 state affairs, 80 education, 117 state affairs, 139 health, 145 taxation, 146 state affairs, 168 health, 223 judiciary. Is the Ipswich High School government class here? Not yet. Maybe? There we go. Welcome on behalf of Representative Cronin. Thank you. Consent calendar items.
House Bill 1124, an act to provide for the appointment of members of the South Dakota Pulse Crops Council. House Bill 1101, an act to revise certain provisions relating to public employee grievance procedures.
The consent calendar bills, having had their second reading, are up for consideration and final passage. These bills are not debated on the House floor, but any member can ask questions of the consent calendar bills. Are there any questions on the consent calendar bills? Seeing none, the question before the House is final passage of the consent calendar bills. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine, and the member shall proceed to vote.
Brown's votes aye. Steele votes aye. Representative Johns, Killer, and Nelson. Representative Johns, Killer, and Nelson. Killer votes aye, Johns votes aye. Nelson votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 69 yeas.
The consent calendar bills, having received a majority vote of the members elect, are hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the titles? Seeing none, titles are deemed correct. Are all the young folks who were shadowing legislators today here in the gallery? If you are, please stand and be recognized. Thank you. Hope you had an enjoyable time here. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 1126, an act to repeal the Massage Therapy Licensing Requirements and Regulatory Board.
House Bill 1126, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Speaker.
Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, after a week of visiting, talking, amending, as far as I'll go on this bill today, we've come up with an amendment. It's a fix. It truly is a fix. From changing the number one change of a license to a registration. It's been said in the past that licensing is for getting rid of bad actors. In the course of a year, there's 1,000 complaints to a sitting governor or a health board of doctors and lawyers. There's 200 or 300 from chiropractors and dentists, a couple dozen others. But in all reality, what this hog house does, it's really a hog house, is it changes a few words guiding a board from a license needed to get rid of a bad actor of an industry that doesn't have any complaints. For that avenue is the only reason I'm here today. In all honesty, this amendment in your hands, it maintains a board. It maintains oversight by a board nominated, elected, and put into place by the governor. It's overseen by the Department of Health. It's a common sense approach to the regulation of massage therapy in South Dakota. A requirement to be authorized by the Board of Massage Therapy in order to be registered as a massage therapist, enabling them to practice in South Dakota, which means my friend that has 600 clients in her business in Brookings, South Dakota, can't have someone come up beside her and just put up a window sticker saying massage therapist without going through all of the requirements. You have to be 18 years old. You have to have a high school diploma or equivalent. You cannot be guilty of professional conduct, misconduct. And that's in here, in this three-page amendment, just this small little amendment. 1126-0A is this amendment. Speaker, Mr. Speaker.
State your point.
We are talking on an amendment that has not been moved.
He's going back and forth with the bill and the amendment.
The bill and the amendment, what we strike and what we have in here. If you want me to at this time, sir, I move the amendment.
You will not be able to move the amendment at this time due to prefatory remarks. Representative Wink.
I would like to move the amendment.
Would that be 1126-0A?
It is.
Has it been distributed?
It has.
And we have a second. You may proceed. Remarks on the amendment, or would you like to defer to the representative from...
Yes,
seven
I would.
And a half counties.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Thank you, Hoffman, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What you just witnessed was not staged, but you can imagine that in the last week we have all witnessed being polled by either side on this bill, which is really an amendment in a hog house. I thank everyone around me for helping me put it into the proper context. I'll resume. You have to have at least $250,000 of liability insurance. You have to have passed the national certification exam or completed 250 hours of massage training. This amendment is good public policy and it protects South Dakota consumers with the regulatory structure put into place. Now, we did away with the board that I think everyone will agree had some operational discourse, and what this is going to reset the clock. There'll be a new board in this hog house. The governor will appoint these people. There'll be a chairman that they elect and nominate. The terms will be guided by the governor's staff and statute. In all reality, I know you're wondering why a cattle rancher that's maybe had two massages in his life is bringing a board like this. Well, it makes sense to me that we have some things in the state that honestly don't need to be regulated. But this, I do believe, does. And why we came back with this hog house is because in all aspects, you are actually getting into a room with the person and you have to have professional conduct being done, male and a female alone in a room. All those professional bits of conduct are followed through in this bill. I'm not going to speak really long on this. I appreciate resetting the clock. I'm not sure how long I had. I know there's going to be some opposition to this. Both sides with this hog house aren't completely happy. And I've been told in this business If you can bring two political entities together of opposing forces and have them both leave somewhat unhappy, you've just come up with a really good bill. So I need to tell you, I think that we're moving forward in the right direction with Amendment 11260A. Mr. Speaker, I'll stand by for any questions and a rebuttal, sir.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Lateral.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Permission to speak to the amendment and the bill?
Granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body. I rise in support of this amendment. The main reason I support this amendment is because it's a step in the right direction. It reduces the training required before a person can practice massage therapy. Currently, if a person wishes to add massage therapy as a side business for supplemental income, our current regulations essentially prohibit them from doing so because they require 500 hours of training. They would have to drop out of school in many cases, quit their job, or wait an unreasonable amount of time trying to fit the required educational hours into their already busy life. This amendment would reduce the number of hours to 250, which in my opinion is still far too high, considering some of the training requirements we have for other professions. For example, a police officer only has to undergo 40 hours of weapons training in order to complete their firearms portion of their training. To be certified to perform CPR, you are trained to intentionally break ribs if necessary. A simple one-day class is all that is required. Yet why do we require 500 hours to practice massage? Surely we recognize that some have a God-given talent for massage, and some either lack the talent or lack the interest in educational or dedication required to become proficient. I would like to see an even lower threshold because our current threshold provides very little consumer protection, but it does serve as a great disincentive to talented people who wish to provide a valuable service and lower costs for consumers. I urge your passage of this amendment and then go on to pass the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on the motion to amend? Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, about a week and a half ago, we had a bill in committee which took well over an hour, hour and a half time to debate, which we sent to the floor with a lot of questions. Now 2 hours, not even that, before we are going to discuss the bill, we get a hoghouse amendment. The first bill was to eliminate the statute governing massage therapists. And now we are going to take the original language and modify it. I have questions. I don't know about anybody else in this body, but there's a lot of issues and a lot of testimony I'd like to hear about what we're looking at in front of us. I'm going to ask you one way or another, if you support this amendment, go ahead and vote for it. But my recommendation is, we need to move forward by killing the bill and working on this over the off season. Thank you.
Further remarks? Motion to amend. Representative Munsterman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. I guess I take a little different approach as a licensed healthcare professional for the last, 26 years and employing massage therapists, probably the last 20. We have an emerging health profession that was licensed back in 2005. With that, and especially with the folks in South Dakota that have been utilizing these professionals for what they've been utilizing them for to help them with their pain and that type of thing, there's a certain level of consumer expectation that has happened over the course of the last decade. With that, and with this licensure, we have credentialed, if you will, healthcare providers. And now what we're talking about in this amendment is actually rolling back that protection. And one of the issues I have in particular with this amendment is the training aspect of it. And so anybody in this room, based on the amendment from what I can tell, all you have to do is follow around a massage therapist that happens to be qualified through the state for 250 hours, and you can go ahead and begin to practice massage therapy in the state of South Dakota. I'm sorry, I have a problem with that. There's no basic science requirements to that. And I believe that we need to resist this amendment. We need to instill what is already instilled in that this legislative body had approved back in 2005. And if this amendment does fail, I do have another option for us that we could consider at that time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on the motion to amend? Representative Wismer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the sponsor of the amendment.
State your question, please.
Would people be able to... I've heard some concerns about whether or not practitioners will be eligible to contract with certain federal health providers, such as Indian Health Service or some other governmentally funded providers. Would your amendment allow practitioners to practice under an IHS contract?
Representative Hoffman, would you like to answer that question? Representative Olson?
Point of order.
State your point, please.
I think her question was for the sponsor of the amendment.
That's correct, but I believe she referred to the representative from many, many counties. Representative Hoffman, you may proceed.
Thank you very much. We asked that specific question, and that is a very good question. I believe what IHS requires is that you have to have certification, you have to have insurance, you have to have proof of going through some form of an education. 30 years in the IHS social services, and a person within the executive branch told me that they will be continue doing massages for the IHS. That's all I know. Thank you.
Representative Wismer, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm hoping that's correct because I've gotten contrary information, but I'm not able to verify it. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks on the motion to amend? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honorable great representatives of the beautiful people of South Dakota, I also, too, was in committee, and I respect my colleagues' comments very much. Anybody that sat through this committee found out, without a doubt, we've got a problem with this board procedure. The words corruption were tossed around quite a bit. But we also have a lot of voters have come to us and said, hey, we need this process to retain our licensure. And also I forget the lady's name, but she came up the other day and said, listen, if I don't have my license, I can't get grants to provide health service that we're currently providing on our reservations. I think we need to take a very serious look at this. When we look at the Hog House Amendment, it's like government ran amok. We've got page after page after page. I'd ask us to strike down the Hog House Amendment. The good representative from up in Brookings has a one-page amendment that looks to be, from my understanding of what we went through in committee the other day, I believe it addresses the majority of the problem, and it gives the South Dakotans that are wanting this credibility and the licensure stature what they want. And I commend the good gentleman from Brookings for having that available. I think it is, at this point, one of the best opportunities to fix what is clearly a broken wheel. Thank you, folks.
Further remarks on the motion to amend. Representative Heiner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I would just like to clarify on the IHS question. As a patient of IHS, they would have to be licensed to be able to be used or to be able to operate in an IHS facility. So I got that directly from our IHS clinic. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the sponsor, please.
State your question,
the amendment.
Please. Question for the gentleman whose name appears on the amendment, 1126-OA. State your question.
Is the insurance or is the person who performs the massage therapy in an IHS situation going to be able to be reimbursed by an insurance carrier under your amendment? I believe that's the real question here.
Representative Hoffman, would you like to answer that question?
I'll try. To answer that question, we're splitting hairs with the word license and registration. Both of them pertain to having to have a set of guidelines that you have followed and that you have been agreed to by a board, ensuring that you have insurance, that you have education, and that you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's. I think that and I'm not going to disagree with the former speaker from Millett and Todd County, because he's a lot closer and knows more about that than I do, but I think that the word license is replaceable with registration in every form Here's where you go down this path is when we don't have a board anymore and there is no set of guidelines that you have to follow. I do believe at that point in time, you have no credibility and you wouldn't be able to be reimbursed. That's as well as I can answer that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Gibson. You still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of the body. I'm going to disagree with the previous speaker and the sponsor of Amendment 112608 in that I feel that insurance companies more than likely will not reimburse a massage therapist unless they are nationally certified by a board, and I don't see that in your amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body.
Thank you, Representative, for the remarks. Representative Magstadt.
Yes, I just thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to point out to this body that there are licensed massage therapists who have earned that title, and if you pass this amendment, you strip them of their earned credentials and titles that they have gone through the hoops and gotten. I just wanted to point that out. Thank you.
Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, this will be a voice vote. Those in favor of the motion to amend will signify by saying aye.
Aye!
Those opposed, nay.
No!
That motion fails. Back on 1126, unamended. Further remarks? Representative Munsterman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move Amendment 1126JB at this time.
Has that been distributed?
Yes, it has.
You may proceed.
Thank you. Essentially, what this does, it leaves the law the way that it is today, but it strikes one word, that word being may, and changes it to shall. And I think as you think about those two words, they both have different implications. May, obviously, being a permissive word, saying that this board may do these things, issue a license based upon these criteria, which I think if you look over the arguments that were presented, excuse me, for bringing this bill forward, and I listened to the Commerce Committee hearing on this as well, that board probably acted under more of a permissive action to the law. What we're doing by this is we're pretty much essentially stating it the same way that we have all of our licensing boards, that they shall carry forward the law as it is prescribed, and that this is their criteria for licensure. And so I believe that a while back it may be a word that got overlooked. It can have major implications as to how legislation is carried out. And I would ask you to support this amendment, which simply keeps the law exactly the way it is, with the exception of striking may and inserting shall, and directing this licensing board to abide by the statute that is in place. I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on the Munsterman motion to amend? Seeing none, those in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye!
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. We are on 1126 as amended. Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1126 as amended. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The members shall proceed to vote. Have the VFW Voice of Democracy winners arrived? Rachel Otis of Cologne, and the Patriot Pen winner, Callie Mueller of Clark. Are you here? Welcome. Thank you for being here. Two young ladies will be competing for the National Scholarship in Washington, D.C. in March. Thank you for being here, young ladies.
Hanhoff votes no. Representative Johns. Mr. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 41 yeas, 28 nays.
House Bill 1126, as amended, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct. Representative Munsterman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move title amendment 1126 JTB at this time.
That motion having been made and seconded is now under consideration. Any comments on your motion?
No comments, sir.
Those in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. The title of the bill is amended. On behalf of Representative Cronin, I'd like to welcome the Miller class today. If you're here, would you please stand and be recognized? Representative Cronin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege.
Granted.
It's Miller Day at the Capitol today, and so the Economic Development Board and everyone's here right up in the front, I think some in the back here. So I'd just like to welcome them to the Capitol for Miller Day. Thank you.
Miller Day. Thank you. And that was on behalf of Representative Hoffman as well. Thank you, folks, for being here.
House Bill 1153, an act to exempt certain environmental upgrade values from assessment during construction and to provide a sunset clause for the environmental upgrade exemption.
House Bill 1153, having had its second reading, up for consideration and final passage, are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, today I ask you to please vote for House Bill 1153. I was given a page of speaking points, but my voice is very weak today. I've caught a cold, so I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about the power plant. I gave you a fact sheet that I think has all the information that you need to make a decision on the power plant. As many of you know, originally we thought we were going to have a second power plant at Big Stone City, but that did not happen. And then the three owners of the power plant, Otter Tail, Northwestern, and Montana Dakota, had to make the decision of what to do with the old power plant. There were new EPA standards that came down in 2005, so they were going to have to retrofit the old plant with the modern environmental innovations that were required. And it was a very spendy process. As it shows you, it's almost $500 million. They came to us, the legislature, and we passed bills in 2006 and in 2010 to help defray some of the property taxes on the environmental upgrades. But then the Revenue Department came back and didn't think there was clarity in the statute that we passed in 2010. They thought that during the construction phase, those 3 years, that, you know, when you have a construction that goes on for a number of years, your director of equalization comes in and looks at that construction about the November 1st, and then they assess a partial assessment according to how much it's built. Well, they interpreted that we didn't make it clear that they were going to be exempt during the construction phase. And that's simply what this bill is doing. It's coming back, it's adding clarity, and it's making it very clear that we, as legislators, want to honor our commitment to this power plant. This power plant was built in 1975 at a cost of about $175 million. And now they're doing a $500 million upgrade to it. It's provided almost 40 years worth of base load electricity, low-cost electricity to all the cities in South Dakota that these three utility companies furnish electricity to. And it's very, very important to them that we honor this commitment, because this commitment was one of the major reasons that they decided to go ahead and to build this plant. And those of you that want wind generation, you know, that coal-fired plant sits over along the Coteau Hills, which go down into the Buffalo Ridge into Minnesota. And now wind generation has come up from the Buffalo Ridge up by White, South Dakota, and is following that east side of the 2,000-foot level. And eventually you're going to see it go up to Summit, and I wouldn't be surprised if it goes all the way to the North Dakota border. Because we have that power plant, and this legislature made that commitment to that power plant, there's going to be a transmission line built from that power plant down to White. And I was speaking the other day with a gentleman from Iberdrola, and he said there's going to be a transmission line that's going to start this next year being built from down in that White area to Minneapolis. So this is so vitally important, this power plant, to the future of wind generation. And my area is just one of the best. When anemometers are put up, the wind speed there is so much better than a lot of the other parts of the state. So please, honor your commitment to them. We did everything properly. When we passed these bills, we got sign-offs from the county commissioners, sign-offs from the school board, and I ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? See no further remarks. Question for the House is final passage of House Bill 1153. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 69 yeas.
House Bill 1153, having barely passed and received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1239, an act to authorize school districts to increase certain tax levies for pension and health insurance purposes.
House Bill 1239, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Shane Fish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. I bring you this local control bill for South Dakota school districts. This bill does two things. Schools have four major funds: general, capital outlay, special ed, and pension. Currently, schools are allowed to levy up to 30 cents per $1,000 of taxable valuation for their pension fund. This bill will change the levy to allow up to 40 cents per $1,000 only for the pension fund. This tiny change will be a huge boost to schools that choose to take this route. The 30 cents has been in place since 1989. Currently, about 30 schools do not levy at the maximum pension amount. About 15 or so have no levy for pension, and about 15 have somewhere in between 0 and 30 cents. Employers are required to match employees' contribution for South Dakota retirement, and that's what's paid for with pension fund. The second thing this bill does, it is allows schools to use pension funds for health insurance, which currently comes out of the general fund. Health insurance costs have been going up every year. In committee testimony, one superintendent commented that they have around $400,000 in their pension fund, and they have around $90,000 in health insurance costs every year. This bill would allow the school to use money they already have to cover those costs. The flexibility will allow schools to have surpluses in their pension funds to free up general fund dollars. For some schools, this will enable them to reduce or delay possible opt-outs. This bill is permissive. No school would be required to do this. Every school is different and has different needs. This bill allows several important decisions to be made by the locally elected school board members. This bill passed out of committee after the compelling testimony that was given by a couple superintendents from my district and a couple others around the state. I ask that you pass this necessary and very reasonable piece of legislation.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Bill 1239. Representative Bolin.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like just to reinforce the remarks of the good gentleman who sits right in front of me. I'd like to put this whole thing into a little bit of a historical context. In the early 1970s, the South Dakota retirement system was established, and of course today it is the envy of the nation. One factor that came into being when this retirement system was set up in the early 1970s is that school districts, to meet their obligations under this system, would be allowed to levy a very small tax to meet their obligations. The idea behind why this particular portion of the law was put into effect was that this was put into effect so that school districts would not have to take away from their general operating levy so that they could meet this legal obligation. Now, one of the things that's taken place is that approximately 10 or 12 years ago, and I should probably go back a little bit before that, the original match was every educator and every public employee of those who would join in would put 5 cents into the pot, and then their governmental body that employed them would also put 5 cents into the pot as well. This is not like, I want to emphasize, South Dakota is not like Wisconsin and not like Illinois and a lot of these other places where somehow the governmental entity pays the employees match, pays their share as well. Educators, public employees in South Dakota pay their share, and then the governmental entity pays their share as well. However, approximately 10 or 12 years ago, the requirement of the law, especially for teachers, was that this was increased from 5% to 6%. However, the levy was not changed. The levy remained where it was previously. Again, this took place approximately 10 or 12 years ago. So, in reality, what this proposal does, what this bill is asking for, is to, in a sense, pay the piper. The benefits, the requirements of the employees were raised 10 or 12 years ago. I experienced that. And the obligation of the school districts was also raised 10 or 12 years ago, but the legislature did not raise the levy. So I'm asking for you to support this proposal today as a very reasonable proposal that meets the obligations of school districts and gets us away from the situation where school districts are having to use general funds to meet a legal obligation as far as pension funds are concerned. I'd also like to point out, and I would like to say, this is a what I call a local option situation. I'm getting away from that, the term I use, the LC term, that we all know what that means. I don't really like that anymore. I'm going to use the term local option from now on. Okay? And I would also remind you that on this House floor last week, 42 members, including myself, really took a stand for the local option in regards to firearms in schools. So I'm asking you to maintain a consistent position and support this bill. Support local option as far as this tax levy is concerned. Help local schools meet their legal obligations. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Wick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fellow members of the House, let's go back a little bit and look at original use of this retirement portion of this of the funds that the schools can raise. Initially, this was put into place to pay the retirements of those people that left the school system and retired. It morphed into something that now becomes the portion that pays the matching funds, but as the sponsor of the bill said, it's It has not been used by over 20 of the schools, I think nearly 25, 24 maybe, and some that are below that. So it's not needed by everybody in the first place. But the most important part of this to me is a discussion about whether or not we are going to allow this to be used for yet another purpose. And that takes away from the design of the funding for the schools, and general funds are what's supposed to pay the health insurance. If we transfer that to this fund and raise more dollars for it, then we're changing the formula, we're changing the work that's been done in the past to try and keep a handle on the dollars that are being spent. This also, so everybody is aware of it, raises taxes for our citizens. If only the ones that are now using it increase it by 10 cents, that's a levy of $6,241,000 plus. If all of the schools raise 10 cents and they all go to this, then it would raise $7,815,000 in new taxes for our citizens. I think that the best solution for this bill is to defeat it and let the schools continue to take the health care funds, the insurance funds, from their general fund. So I hope you'll defeat the bill. Thank you.
Further remarks, Mr. Speaker. Representative Hager.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Esteemed members, you know, the prime sponsor of the bill used the phrase, the adjective, tiny, when he referred to the increase in taxes. And what that did is it caused what few hairs remain on my head to stand on end. I have a problem with that because it's kind of like the camel pushing his nose into the tent. Once in, never out. And I just see this sort of thing continuing to increase and continuing to expand in scope. The voters of this state just told us in the fall that they have a problem with taxes. And I'm going to stand the line here and say, no, I can't support a tax increase in this case.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honorable members of this great body, but a week ago has passed when the majority of the persons in this body voted to raise taxes on South Dakotans for what, a 3-4 month period of time for the purpose of funding tourism. What this is not a tax raise. This is, we preach local control up here. It's heard every day resounding through these great hallways. And yet, this only offers local control. Not for ourselves. This is not a tax increase. This is telling the same school boards that less than a week ago that we said was competent and proper to determine whether live firearms were supposed to be in the schools to protect the safety of our children. We said that that body, esteemed elected body, is competent enough and capable of deciding that factor at a local level. Well, this allows them a tool to deal with. We were talking about our statutes and the funding formula. I've been here the last 2 years, and those funding formulas by state law have kind of gone out the window, because if they hadn't, those cuts that happened in 2011 would have never occurred. This bill originates from one of my superintendents in our district. I rise in support of that. Superintendent Vlossman from the Tripp School came to me and said, hey, we've got a problem. I'm not able to take care of my teachers. Now, one of the core elements that the United States Marine Corps teaches every Marine is, number one, mission accomplishment. Number two is troop welfare. Our teachers are accomplishing the mission, oftentimes by scraping money out of their own pockets. We've got some of the best educated children in America and in the world. Now, what this does is it gives local leaders, local elected officials, the ability to go to their community and say, you know what, we're hurting. Our teachers were not able to take care of them properly underneath the funding that this legislature has provided and the cuts that have happened in the last 2 years. let's allow this great body of elected persons to decide that in their local communities. Give these people the tools they need to take care of our teachers. In this case, if they decide it's warranting, they've got to get it past their electorate. And that's where it should belong, is in hometown South Dakota. I appreciate your taking the time to listen to this. I'd ask you to please consider going green on this and support our local school teachers and giving the school boards this small tool in order to do so. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Dryden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to talk a little bit about the funding that was brought up earlier. This is a tax increase. But if you look at the equity in funding, this creates some more inequity in funding of school districts. And we always talk about state aid formula trying to create some equity. I'll take two examples, two school districts with about the same number of students. One school district with this tax levy of 40 cents could generate $21,000. Another school district, approximately the same size, with the 40-cent tax levy, would generate $71,000. So you can see one district gets about 3.5 times as much money with this tax levy as the other district. So it further creates inequity in the funding of school districts. Local districts also have the option to raise taxes with their opt-out, and this does provide local control and keeps decisions at the local level. For these reasons, I oppose 1239. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Wismer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I oppose this bill, but for different reasons, I believe, than most of the prior speakers. The only reason that these superintendents are reduced to coming to us and begging for what I think are crumbs on the table is because our state is evading its responsibility to fairly fund schools equally across the state. And so those superintendents have to look for little pennies under the rug that some schools have and some schools don't. And that's not the right way to be funding education. We ought to be looking at this on a statewide level. This particular mechanism evades the local opt-out that we think that we have in place. It increases the local taxpayer load, just like we've done in many of the last of the years in my tenure of being in the legislature. Every time we cut the state budget, a lot of our state cuts, 2 years ago in particular, we pushed the load, or at least a piece of it, off onto our local taxpayers. 2 years ago, we did it by changing some factors in the formula so that the school cut wasn't a full 10%. It was only 8.6, but that cut, that decrease was entirely borne by our local taxpayers. And so, therefore, the relative ability of the school to fund a quality education depends on the wealth of that particular school district, and that is not the way to fund education. So I look at this as just another indicator of the failure of our state to do what we have a responsibility to do. So I'll be voting no on this. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I wasn't intending on saying anything on this issue, but I will say this, and that is that, you know, this really isn't a matter of local control at all. We're raising it from 30 cents to 40 cents. Well, if it was a matter of local control, why have a cap on the issue at all? Or why not raise it to $5 or $10 or $100? Instead, it's a matter of raising a tax, and that's the issue at hand. And so because that's the issue, I am going to oppose this measure and keep the levy as is. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, this will be a two-thirds vote for the increase of allowable levies. Those in favor will vote yay, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Peterson and Feinstein votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 33 yeas, 36 nays.
House Bill 1239 having failed.
I give notice of intent to reconsider.
Just one second.
Okay.
Having failed to receive a majority vote of the members to elect, is hereby declared lost. Now you can give your notice of intent.
You have notice of intent.
It is so noted. Thank you, Representative.
House Bill 1174, an act to revise certain provisions pertaining to snowmobile operation.
House Bill 1174, having had a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 1174 is a constituent bill. I got a call this summer from a guy, and he wanted to be able to ride a motorcycle in the wintertime on a snowmobile trail. But he said the problem was he couldn't get a snowmobile license for his motorcycle. And I thought, well, fancy that. But anyway, as we talked, it appears as though there are kits that will go on motorcycles and ATVs, because ATVs aren't allowed on snowmobile trails either. But they now make kits that go on these machines that does qualify them as a snowmobile. And on your bill, in Section 2, on Line 10, it says, any resident owner who has titled a motorcycle or all-terrain vehicle which has been modified to comply with the definition of a snowmobile for use as a snowmobile on a state snowmobile trail or area established pursuant to the provisions of Chapter 41-19 may purchase a snowmobile trail user pass for a fee of $20. Department of Game, Fish, and Parks shall collect the annual fee imposed by this section and shall deposit the money in the Snowmobile Trails Fund established by 32-5-9.2. So the GF&P, under consulting with them, they're fine by this bill. If we can get it passed, and if we do so, then snowmobiles and ATVs with the proper kits put on them will be allowed to ride on snowmobile trails. So I hope you support me, and maybe we'll see some motorcycles and ATVs on snowmobile trails. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Latterell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and honorable members of the body. I was curious about this provision, so I looked up a picture of what this modified vehicle looks like, and it actually looks to me to be more like a snowmobile than a motorcycle. When they're done with it, it just has one ski. So it's nothing that strange, and because the vehicle actually weighs less than a snowmobile in certain types of cases and accidents, it may be safer. That's pure speculation. I'd encourage you to pass this bill.
Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question for the House's final passage of House Bill 1174. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Feinstein votes aye. Jenna Hager votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 69 yeas.
House Bill 1174, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1208, an act to prohibit the unlawful release of medical waste and to provide a penalty therefore.
House Bill 1208, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Mickelson.
Members of the House, we have a simple bill today for your consideration. It came out of committee 12-1. It is a bill that would make a Class 2 misdemeanor, which is the equivalent of a speeding ticket, for someone that disposes of medical waste, as currently drafted with criminal negligence, into a recycling disposal facility. At committee, we heard testimony from a recycler who employs people that hand sort recycling, paper, glass, you got the picture. Some parties, against federal law, place medical waste into this recycling facility. In the state of South Dakota, there is no agency charged with supervision of this activity. Rather than creating another set of regulations and a bureaucracy to oversee that, we thought that we would offer this recycling facility the ability to self-enforce their law, so that when they pick up the offender, when they call the offender and say, please stop putting your medical waste into the recycling stream, it's dangerous for our employees, they can no longer respond, it's not against the law. Again, this will be a Class 2 misdemeanor, punishable by up to a $500 fine and, I believe, 30 days in jail. I urge your support of this. That concludes my remarks, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Feinstein.
Mr. Speaker, I have an amendment that you do not have.
State your amendment, please.
My amendment is on line 11 of the bill. You strike the word criminal and...
The motion is to strike the word criminal on page 1, line 11. Any comments, Representative Feinstein?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I've had a discussion with the prime sponsor, and I believe he'll agree that this is a friendly amendment. When I started reading the bill, right now there's no legal definition of what criminal negligence is. This cleans that particular bit up, and I believe it accomplishes the intent of the crime of unlawful release of medical waste, and I think this does the job that we need to. And I would assume and hope the sponsor concurs. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further comments on the motion to amend, Representative Mickelson.
I appreciate the amendment. I believe this improves the bill. Thank you.
Further remarks, Representative Hayek.
Thank you, members of the body. I do have a question to the maker of the amendment.
State your question, please.
Are we then opening up a whole new area of a tort area in negligence by removing the word criminal and essentially, with a claim by someone who has been harmed by the disposal in a certain way?
Representative Feinstein, would you like to answer that question?
I'll certainly try, Mr. Speaker. I don't believe so because it says that we're guilty. This is a criminal law right here. It does not even address the civil ends of it.
Representative Hayek, you still have the floor.
Thank you. Then I would question the need to remove the word criminal. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks on the motion to amend? Again, the motion is to strike the word criminal, page 1, line 11. Further remarks? Seeing none, this will be a voice vote. Those in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
That motion carries. Back on the bill, 1208 as amended. Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question for the House is final passage of House Bill 1208 as amended. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote. Representative Wismer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege, please.
Granted.
In our gallery today is our doctor for the day, Dr. David Kleinberg from Britton, South Dakota. Please welcome him.
Welcome, doctor. Thank you for helping us out today. Representative Bartlett.
Personal privilege.
Granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. Would you please help me welcome back a former member of the Senate from 1990 to 1998, former Senator Joanne Morford.
Welcome. Thanks for being here. Representative Tolson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege.
Granted.
I want to welcome the mayor of Lake Norton and two city council members. Would you please stand up? Welcome to the legislature.
Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Representative Gibson, Hickey, and Hunhoff. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 64 yeas, 5 nays.
House Bill 1208, having received a majority vote of the members elected, hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1164, an act to establish a classroom innovation grant program and to make an appropriation therefore.
House Bill 1164, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Speaker.
Representative Lusk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. Well, the title in this one says it all. House Bill 1164 is to create a grant program to incentivize teachers and classrooms to utilize technology in innovative ways. We've seen the proliferation of technology over the years, and that has not stopped at the classroom doorstep. We have lots of technology in the classroom, and I think it's important that that technology be used not just to digitize the way teaching has always been done, but innovate in the teaching arena. And this program created by House Bill 1164 will create a fund where teachers directly can access grant money to utilize and develop technology for the benefit of our students. And there, in committee, I listed several different programs and ideas that are being implemented currently. And I encourage that type of innovation and utilization of technology. I believe that we need to arm our teachers with the ability to seek out that technology, utilize it in innovative ways, and further the education experience of our students. 1164 will do that. And, Mr. Speaker, I have an amendment.
Is that 1164CB?
It is.
And has it been distributed?
It has.
Do you move it at this time?
I do.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And what the amendment does, it strips out the rulemaking authority of the Department of Education. That's one change. The other change is to change the reversion from 2014 to 2015. And they're really, the reason for both is the same. And that is this, timing. If rulemaking authority is required, this bill would not pass until become effective until July 1. The Department of Education would have to publish and implement rules and go through the rulemaking process. It's very conceivable that the actual ability to then apply for the grants would not exist until very close to the start of the school year. I've spoken with the Secretary of the Department of Education. She's comfortable through other grant programs they have in implementing this the way they've done it for other grant program. So that's a timing issue. And then regarding the 2014 to 2015, again, it's timing. If teachers are not aware of this program for the 2014 year, it would allow them also to access it for the 2015 educational year. So I think it gives more flexibility for the teachers and able to bring their ideas and applications forward. So I would appreciate your support on the amendment as well as the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on the motion to amend? Representative Tyler.
For the sponsor of the amendment, please.
State your question.
Are there rules in place for this specific grant?
Representative Lutz, would you like to answer that question?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For this specific grant, there are not, but the department has various other grant programs. They're very familiar with the grant application process and reviewing them. They've got a structure in place that they would simply utilize for this grant program as well as they do for others.
Thank you. Representative Tyler, you still have the floor. Any further remarks? Representative Hoffman.
Question for the sponsor.
State your question, please.
Mr. Speaker, the question is, I believe there's a very interesting bill coming to us. I'm assuming it's coming to us from the Senate that puts some cooperation together between rural schools that are actually sparse and small, alleviating some of the problems that I think we've seen in forced reconsolidation. The question is, would this grant be able to be applied to those schools in their usage of technology and having one student or one teacher to teach a very high-level integrated class throughout that whole system of schools entering into that agreement?
Representative Lust, would you like to answer that question?
I would, and thank you for the question. I would absolutely think they would be able to do that, Representative. The idea is for it to come from the teachers, not school districts, not superintendents. This comes from the classroom, the teachers being able to implement and utilize technology the way they seem fit. And it's certainly if they deem that as an appropriate and effective technological tool, then absolutely they could utilize it.
Representative Hoffman, you still have the floor.
I just have to tell you, Mr. Speaker, that I think this is one of the greatest advances that we can give to some of our rural schools. Putting some money out there, a carrot on a string, to keep those schools alive, to keep that economy in those rural areas growing. I think this goes a long way towards solving a funding problem for putting that technology into place. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Further remarks on the motion to amend? Seeing none, those in favor of the motion to amend will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. Back on the bill, 1164, as amended. Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question for the House is final passage of House Bill 1164 as amended. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the member shall proceed to vote. This will be a two-thirds vote for the appropriation. Two-thirds vote.
Representative Olson. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 60 yeas, 9 nays.
House Bill 1164, as amended, having received a two-thirds vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct. There being no objection, the House will revert to order of business number 5, motions and resolutions.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that House Bill 1032 and 1055 were delivered to His Excellency the Governor for his approval at 9:30 a.m. February 5, 2013. Also, Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Office of Engrossing and Enrolling has carefully compared House Bill 1012, 1051, 1052, and 1064 and finds the same correctly enrolled. Respectfully submitted, Brian G. Gosch, Chair.
Speaker signs an act to revise certain provisions regarding the student eligible for resident tuition benefits at universities controlled by the Board of Regents. Speaker signs an act to revise certain provisions related to the director's orders to hazardous insurers. Speaker signs an act to repeal certain rulemaking authority for the director of insurance. Speaker signs an act to provide for certain methods of disbursement for school district flexible spending accounts. Speaker signs an act to increase the penalty for sexual acts between correctional facility employees and juvenile detainees. Speaker signs an act to revise certain provisions regarding the electronic filing of motor fuel tax reports and the electronic remittance of motor fuel tax. Speaker signs an act to improve public safety. Announcements. Representative Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Commerce and Energy will meet tomorrow at 10 a.m. sharp. Thank you.
Representative Hunoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been asked to remind the body that we'll have a special briefing for legislators on the Medicaid issue following session and following the Senate adjournment. It's featuring Dr. Vernon Smith. I met him earlier, a fine fellow and an expert in health care insurance. So please attend if you can. Thank you.
Room 414, immediately following session. Thank you. Further announcements? Representative Slott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Education will meet tomorrow. Three bills on the docket. 7:45.
Thank you. Further announcements? Representative Romkema.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appropriations will meet for a briefing tomorrow morning at 7:15. We will be dealing with retirement and the Investment Council.
Further announcements? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning, 10 a.m.
Further announcements? Representative Olson.
Catacomb Caucus, 7 o'clock in the morning, Governor's Large Conference Room.
7 a.m., Catacomb Caucus, Governor's Large Conference Room. Thank you. Further announcements? Representative Tolson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been asked by the people around me if the council and the mayor from Lake Norton, if there's a quorum there present. And I want to assure you that there's six on the council, so they are meeting okay.
Thank you. And as far as we know now, their texts are safe as well. Further announcements? Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Double duty for state affairs tomorrow, 7:45, and then we'll be meeting after session as well. We have a lot of bills to get through, so two committee meetings for state affairs tomorrow.
Thank you, Representative. Further announcements? Seeing none. Representative Steele.
Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn.
Those in favor of adjourning will say aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.